You are tuned in to 89.1 KHOL, and I am joined by Lori Iverson with the National Elk Refuge. She is the refuge spokesperson and educational outreach person. And we are here to talk about the National Elk Refuge and its history and Elk Fest.
Great. Good to be here. Thank you so much for inviting us.
Good to have you, Lori. Now, the National Elk Refuge is over 100 years old. Why was it originally established, and what is its purpose today as the town has grown and the times have changed?
You're correct. We were established in 1912, even predating the town of Jackson itself, and it was established for winter habitat for the wintering Jackson elk herd. Even back in the early 1900s, it was apparent that this elk herd had a lot of value to people, and they put a value on its existence in tough, difficult winter conditions. You're right that the times have changed a lot. We see a lot of pressure now just because of our location. The National Elk Refuge is located immediately adjacent to the town of Jackson, just to the north. We sit between town of Jackson and Grand Teton National Park. We have the Bridger-Teton National Forest off to the east. So there is a lot of pressure to develop, to give up a little piece of land here for a pathway or a trail or an easier way to get across town. But it's really important that we keep habitat for some of the wintering animals, particularly the Jackson elk herd. You know, we have a real high priority on wildlife here in our county, and this is a time when we really need to stand our ground and make that habitat available for animals that have such a stressful time in the winter.
Now, I just want to clarify, you are with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which is a national entity, and it's not with Wyoming Game and Fish. Is that correct?
Correct. Wyoming Game and Fish is one of our key partners, but that's a state organization. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is part of the Department of the Interior.
Mm-hmm. So as every Wyoming citizen should know, that picking up elk sheds is illegal in the national forest before May 1st. But when May 1st comes, it's a pretty big scene. And some people are even gathered and ready to go at midnight. What is that day like?
It is really popular for people to want to go out on the national forest to collect antlers. It's always illegal to collect them in Grand Teton National Park and on the National Elk Refuge. So anyone going out looking for antlers really needs to know their boundaries well. We have the boundaries marked because the wildlife closure is lifted at midnight. We do have some reflective tape on a number of our poles to help guide people to make sure that they know that they are off the refuge and in an area where it's legal. But there is a big rush at midnight on May 1st. You're absolutely right. But we also find that people that wait until 5 or 6 in the morning because they don't want to be out scrambling in the dark do just as well. So it really varies from year to year where you can find the antlers. Depends on where the elk have spent their winter, what time of year they left, if they were moving back and forth. Sometimes we'll see a lot of movement back and forth in the springtime and in the fall as well as they're transitioning between the winter and summer season.
If you're just joining us, I am speaking with Lori Iverson. She is the educational outreach and spokesperson for the National Elk Refuge, and we are talking about Elk Fest and the Elk Auction, which happens each May. Now, there is one group that is allowed to gather a little bit on the National Elk Refuge after May 1st, and that's the Boy Scout troop here in Jackson. Can you tell us a little bit about that partnership and relationship that the National Elk Refuge and the Boy Scouts here in Jackson have?
It was really exciting to celebrate our 50th antler auction this year. So we start picking up antlers as soon as they drop on the National Elk Refuge in March for a couple of reasons. One is we're out working among the elk herd a lot in the wintertime. We're running a lot of machinery. It's so hard to see the antlers in either grass or snow, and we don't want them getting tangled up in the machinery. So we pick them up, and we also don't want them to be poached and wintering wildlife to be disturbed. So we start picking them up in March as soon as they begin dropping, and then we pick a day in late April when the Jackson District Boy Scouts come out and help us do a final sweep and get all the antlers picked up. And then the real work begins. That's the fun part, being able to spend a Saturday out on the refuge. But it takes many, many behind-the-scenes hours of getting the antlers ready, sorting them into similar shape and size, getting them bundled up into various lots, then putting them on a scale, weighing them, tagging them, and just getting them down to the auction early on Saturday, the day of the auction.
How does the antler fall off of the elk? What time of year does that happen, and what's the process like?
Usually it's the larger bulls that start dropping their antlers first. That can happen in late February or early March. They don't always drop their antlers off at the same time, so it's not unusual to see a bull that has one antler on and one antler off, which you can only imagine must be going through its head. What does that feel like and what is going on? But they just literally will pop off right at the pedicle at the top of the head, and the younger bulls will start losing theirs later. They can shed them on through April. So that's part of the reason why we can have such a variation from year to year as to how many antlers are available in the auction. If we have an early migration and the bulls have migrated off before their antlers have dropped, then we may not have as big of a year at the auction.
Now, the auction was last weekend, and the antler auction celebrated its 50th year mark this year. And how did that turn out?
It was wonderful. We took about 15 minutes before the auction this year just to really spotlight that partnership. We had a speaker from the Jackson District Boy Scouts present a patch. They make a patch each year, and they gave one to Don Redfern, who was a former refuge manager. Don was the person that came up with the idea of starting the antler auction, so it was a thrill to have him with us on Saturday. Our refuge manager, Steve Callen, that just retired in January, was there, and our current refuge manager, Brian Glassbell. So a nice little presentation to them, and a town proclamation read by Haley Morton Levinson from the town, and Paul Vogelheim, who is also a scout leader and county commissioner, made a few statements. So it was nice to take the time to celebrate that. I think anytime you've had a partnership that's been going strong for 50 years, that's noteworthy.
Now, before we went on the air, you clarified that there's a difference between the private sales and the National Elk Refuge auction.
Yeah, the auction that we have is an auction. Jim Lewis and Brian Taylor, two local auctioneers, donate their time. It's wonderful that they're willing to spend 3 hours with us to auction those off. But at the same time that the auction is underway, there is also a private antler sale that takes place, not just elk antlers, but a variety of other species. And that takes place adjacent to the auction, and it's sponsored by the Rotary Club.
Well, Lori, we really appreciate you coming into KHOL and talking to us about the National Elk Refuge and the antler auction that takes place every May.
Thank you so much.
You're tuned in to your community radio station, 89.1 KHOL.